Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I'm welcoming author Lana Ferguson. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Lana Ferguson is a sex-positive nerd who works never shy from spice or sass. A faded Fabio book cover found its way into her hands at 15, and she's never been the same since. When she isn't writing, you can find her randomly singing show tunes, arguing over which Batman is superior, and subjecting her friends to the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings. Lana lives in mostly in her own head, but can sometimes be found chasing her canine through the coppice of the great American outdoors. Okay, so here's the major question. Who is the best Batman?
Okay, so this is really hard because if you'd asked me like a year ago, I would say Keaton, hands down, because he is the Batman. But
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you. Robert Pattinson's Batman did something for me.
Okay, so I haven't seen his, so I don't know. Like, Keaton's like
I
my
went into it not
favorite.
expecting anything, but like it did something for me. So I'm like, he's a close second.
That's interesting. I might have to watch that because,
You
like,
definitely should.
I've been a Keaton fan from day one.
Yeah, I mean, like, he is Batman, but I don't know. Our Pat did something.
Well, and so, like, I'm from the Pittsburgh area. And so it's like I can claim to fame. Michael Keaton is like hometown boy, too.
Yeah.
So clearly, Fabio was your gateway into romance. But do you remember the book?
So I probably couldn't tell you the exact book. I know he was on one called, like, it was a Joanna Lindsay one. I know that for sure
Okay.
because that was the first book I ever read, but I couldn't tell you which one it was. Like the only one that I can remember from that time, like specifically, was called The Heiress by, I think maybe Catherine Coulter, maybe
Okay.
it was, or Kathleen Woodowis. It was one or the other, but it was, that's the main one I remember from that time. But it didn't have Fabio on the cover. I cannot remember. That's what's so sad. I can't remember my first Fabio book, but I know it was a Fabio book because my granny had so many of them.
Well, so my mom, like, she would get the box Harlequins every month. And so it was one of those things where, like, I don't remember my first book either, but that was one of those things. So, like, it just, once I started stealing them and reading them in my room, like, where nobody could see me, I just never really looked back.
We have the same start. That's exactly. I'd go to my granny's house and I would sneak a book. That's why we were just talking about this yesterday. I was talking about being on this podcast and I was like looking over the questions and she's like, "You can't keep blaming me for everything." She's like, "You stole them. You didn't ask."
Well, I like it's one of those things where it's like, did my mom know I was taking them and she just was like, okay, that's fine?
This
Or
is
did
very
she
easy
really
sex
not
education,
know?
maybe. I don't know.
Or was
Just
it,
let it happen.
and she was reading one and I moved her bookmark by accident. Did she think that maybe it just fell out and I replaced it? Or did she know that I finished this section and forgot where she was?
Gosh.
So, what made you decide to start writing?
Honestly, it was probably the Harlequins. I've always loved romance. I loved like how it's always got a happy ending. I love how it's very like it's, I mean, it's still story driven, but it's more about the characters, I guess, like with romance. So, and honestly, I mean, you know, as a teenager, I was to the ladies by the spicy part. So I've always liked the spicy part. So I don't know. I guess that I've never really had another genre that's gripped me as much as romance. Like I read thrillers every once in a while, and I love like because I love like watching thrillers, but I don't know. I just love the guarantee of a happily ever after. I got enough bad things in my life. I don't want to risk it.
Well, but even like Lord of the Rings and those kinds of things, they still have that element to them because we have like Arwen and Eowyn and all of those stories
Yes.
alongside it.
It's just every story is better with a little bit of romance. I stand by that.
So is there a piece of advice you would give present or past author you from present author you?
I would tell me to just go for it. I mean, because so a lot of times we get in our own way, which me especially, because we're afraid of failing. And again, me especially. But the reality is you don't know what's going to happen unless you put yourself out there. So I don't know. I think wondering forever what could have been is a lot worse than a simple, like a very quick rejection, I guess, is what. And also Don't read your reviews, you dummy.
Yeah.
That's my big do not do that, because when I first started out, I was like, I have to read every review, and don't do that. They're not for you.
That is the thing, and that's what we try and talk to authors about. It's like authors have author spaces, readers have reader spaces, and reviews are reader spaces. And it's like,
Right.
and also I'm a firm component that any author should have to sit through like a critique, like, and because I went to art school, and an art critique was one of the most devastating days of
Oh my
class
God.
ever, because you just sat there and like an entire classroom and your professor just ripped everything apart.
I don't want to do that at all. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Never write again.
Very emotionally distraught, like you're
That
emotionally
sounds
distraught.
horrifying. No, thank you.
It's not fun. It's
Oh
not.
gosh, no.
Can you share any writing rituals or habits that you have to help you stay focused and productive?
A lot of rituals. I do now, if I do need to get like really quiet and really calm down, I do have like a playlist from Spotify with a bunch of nerdy piano versions of anime and video game themes.
Okay.
So, because I don't know, I don't like listening to music that I where I know the words, because it
Because
takes me
then you
out of
get
it.
distracted and you
Yeah, and then I
go.
get distracted. So, but I don't know, I don't listen to a lot of classical either. So I started finding a lot of piano themes for like my favorite video games and anime. And so I just listen to them. But I mean, I also kind of thrive in chaos, because I have, young kids. I have a very hyperactive dog. So I've churned out plenty of chapters with screaming kids and a dog trying to put his butt in my face. So
Well, but there's like certain background noise that you can kind of tune out, and some that it's like that
yeah.
muscle memory, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna sing this song
Yeah, basically.
now. So when you're doing your story, do you plot them out or do you pants?
Oh, I am a pantser. I like to joke that my books are kind of like a choose your own adventure, but for me,
Okay.
because I do like a very threadbare outline when I first start, like, because it usually starts with like a specific scene or like a specific character, and then I kind of just build it around that. But as far as like, I'm so jealous of the people I see that have like mood boards and post-it notes on their walls and like journals and like stuff that keeps up with their word count. I'm like, I sit down to write a chapter and I don't know what's going to happen until I get done, basically. So I'm like the epitome of a pantser.
Well, but do you have like a general idea of like where you want your characters to go, or is it like you've like create these characters in your head, or do your characters talk to you?
They kind of talk to me. Like, when I especially because I write a lot of like dialogue, I love writing banter and dialogue, so I kind of picture like myself in the place of those conversations. So it's
Okay.
almost like talking to myself. I
And
will literally say the conversations out loud sometimes, just to see if they kind of sound natural, if like the responses sound okay. So I have a general idea. Like, I'll usually have like a scene I'm working towards, or so my outline, you like maybe each chapter will have like, I don't know, 100 words for that outline. Like, so it's kind of like a general idea of what's going to happen in that chapter. But as far as like the fine tuning, like the little details of their dialogue, I have no idea until I start, basically.
How is it that you can approach your book and tell a compelling story but keep the characters relatable?
That one's tough. Because I am such a pantser. So I try to write characters that feel like someone you could talk to, like a friend, like that you're rooting for. Like, I don't want to ever get like into a situation where it's too complicated, or it's like a scenario that I could never picture myself in, because then I'm not going to write it correctly, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Right.
But because I am such a pantser, there's a lot at the end of the book going back over and Frankensteining things together for me to make sure everything like is cohesive and flows correctly. But I kind of just focus on making the characters like, I don't know, like a friend, basically.
No, I think that's a great idea, and I think it makes like your characters, they're not soft, but they have like an element of like relatability and normalcy that sometimes we don't always get in book characters. But I will say, I have a question.
Oh
Are we
gosh.
ever getting more in the room for two people?
Oh gosh. Well, I am working on getting it out to print.
Okay.
So, and if I do, they do want me to expand it a little bit. So,
Okay.
a little bit more content with them. I have no idea yet what, because it was such like a fast-paced, like over one night kind of story. I don't
I know, I
know.
loved it. I loved
Oh,
every
well, thank
second of it.
you.
Becky
That's
and
so
I
sweet.
got the audio for it, and honestly, she listened to it and she was like, it ended, and I wasn't ready for it to end because neither one of us
Oh, no.
realized it was so short.
Yeah.
And so she's like, you have to listen to this. I'm like, well, I already have it. She's like, you have to. And so I was like, all right, I got this. And no, and by the end, I was like, dang it, I need so much more.
Well, I'm working on trying to figure out how I can add a little. I need to add like 5 or 10,000 words to
Okay.
it. So at least a few more chapters that I have to figure out how to squeeze in there.
Wow, that makes me very, very happy because there's just something
Yay.
about that coupling and the way that story played out. It just, I could have read about the two of them forever.
Well, I was really nervous about that story, so I'm very happy to hear
Well,
that.
it worked very well. So
Yay.
let's talk the mating game. It comes out December 2nd, 2025. It is PNR and it is Have a Grumpy Sunshine.
Yes.
One thing that I loved about this book is the fact that Tessa is a contractor. She is not your typical heroine. She does not have a typical, like, she's in a very male-dominated field, but she also has this amazing support system from her family.
Right.
I love that.
Well, yeah, I love writing heroines that are a little bit, well, not like overly tough, but like they can handle themselves, you know what I mean?
No, and I think the fact that like she's so s capable and so forward thinking, and she has this real connection with the projects that she does, I think it was a very interesting choice, but it worked really well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I don't know, every time I write a book, I guess I'm always scared that something's not gonna work, but so hearing that it does is very gratifying.
Well, and it's one of those things where it's like we often get like the same type of heroine, not the same type of heroine, but they're a romance author or they're a teacher or they're a nanny. And it's like we kind of fell into this like small bucket. And it's like there are women out there who are doing other things and we want to hear about them and read about them and like see like everybody, they're capable of doing more.
Right. Well, I usually pick the jobs after I've already gotten an idea of like general sense of the story. It's something that will fit within the story, but also help them, I guess, get through their little journey. So usually it fits, but I don't know.
No, I think it worked really well. And then we have Hunter, who is one of the grumpiest characters I've read in a while, but grumpy in the sense, what's one of those like he's grumpy, but not an asshole on top of it. Because sometimes we get that like blend. And I mean, he's not the nicest person, but his grumpiness, it's like a defense mechanism.
Right. And that's, if I write a grumpy sunshine, that's exactly how I want it to be, because I don't really love the, I don't know what you call them, the alpha holes, I guess.
See, I love
Like,
an alcohol.
see, I don't know. I guess I've just dealt with it so much in my real life. Like, I can read it and I can take myself out and enjoy it. But it's hard for me to write it, I guess, is like, so I love writing a grumpy character, but I don't want him to be like mean.
No, and that makes sense. Like I said, I love an alcohol. There's just something about it. Like my husband is not. He is like the
Oh,
cinnamoniest cinnamon roll, like known to
you
man.
need
Like
that
he.
fantasy in your life, like.
That's the thing. Like I love the antithesis of what he is when I'm reading. Not to say that I don't enjoy a cinnamon roll, but there's just I love that. I don't need to read about it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's what fantasy's all about, though, taking you out of your reality and giving you something new.
It totally is. But Hunter, so he is a man who like he's had a lot of he lives with a lot of guilt. And he's essentially hiding out. And as the story plays out, like you see like why he feels the way he feels and how why he acts the way he acts. And it makes sense because there's like it's hard when things like that happen to move past the guilt and move past the hurt.
Right. Yeah, I actually had a comment about how I handle. I'm trying not to give any spoilers, but like how I often use parentals as a
You
plot
Disney
device.
them?
Huh?
You Disney
I
them?
do Disney them. I don't know. I guess I don't know how to write proper parental relationships, so I just Disney them.
No, Mariah Enkenmann. She Disney's at least one character almost every book.
Oh gosh. Mine's usually the parents.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Yeah, she, like, we did an interview with her and talked about it. She's like, sometimes it's just easier because then you don't have to deal with it. And
Oh
it
gosh,
adds, like,
you know, she's
she
not wrong.
didn't word it that way. It was much more eloquent, but it, like, it adds another layer to the character that, like, and but you don't have to introduce actual people.
I know. I've read a couple of books where they actually have functioning parental relationships, and I just want to be like, see, I can do it. I can do it. I just don't want to.
Well, but I mean, he has his aunt, Aunt Jeannie, who, like, she is the reason that Tessa and her brothers are coming to this mountain lodge in the first place. And, like, so he still has that parental, like, side of it, but she's hurts for him, and she wants him to put himself out there and
Sure,
wants him
yeah.
to move past, like, the small, like, box that he's put himself in.
I think I do this because my most important person in my life is my grandmother, so she's like a surrogate. I mean, I have parents, but she's always been like a parent to me, so it's like it's easier for me to write like that surrogate parent type because I'm a lot closer, I guess, with her. So
Well, I mean, when you have that type of relationship, like, it just, it's something that's, like, near and dear to you, and you want other people to experience that comfort that you have.
yeah, and I noticed I've written it a couple of times now. I wrote it, you know, with Wanda and with Jeannie, and in the hockey book there was his mom, and I don't know.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
So the whole premise of, like, the start of the story, and this is not a spoiler, we find out as soon as the book opens. So Tessa is a dormant Omega coming to fruition, and
Yeah.
it is the aftermath and the result of that change that, like, kind of brings her and Hunter together. And it's one of those things where you approach the shifter world a little bit differently than a lot of authors, because she's very much in a contemporary world with this, like, whole shifter balance. How come you decided to approach it that way?
I guess because I since when I when my editor talked about like taking Omegaverse and like going trad, like because she's like, I think we're ready. She's like, we can do this. Like she's like, you can totally do it. And oh, I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Take your time. We'll slow
No,
down.
but oh, but I wanted to make it palatable for people, like because you know there's and I still hear it even now. There's so many traditional romance authors that have not even heard of Omegaverse, and so I just wanted
Well,
to make sure.
we
Go
did
ahead.
an interview recently with, her name is Luz, like, I it is, but she, like, blew our mind. She's like, Omegaverse is a trope.
I mean, it kind of is,
But,
yeah.
like, we're like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense now. Like, we were flabbergasted at the idea of that. And it's like, yeah, it really
I mean, it
is.
kind of is, yeah. But there's so many people that are still telling me today that not like in a toot my own horn kind of way, but like saying like you were my first foray into Omegaverse, and I'm like, well, that's why I wanted to make it like palatable. I wanted to make sure like you weren't gonna run screaming to the hills the minute you heard the word not. Like I was trying to like build up to it a little bit more gently.
It was Catherine Moon is the
Yes,
one who
that
told us that.
yeah.
Because
Oh, I love her.
she is so nice, and she's like, I'm not an authority. And we're like, you kind of
It
are.
kind of is, yeah. I've read all her books, so
But no, honestly, when she told us that, like, Amanda, who, one of our co-hosts, was not, like, because it's one of those things where, like, she hasn't, and I didn't understand Omegaverse. I mean, I read them, but there's, like, not that thing. Amanda honestly was like, I can't believe how, like, easy that was. Like, just the thought of it, that it's a trope.
yeah, I could see it.
So, are we going to get more in this world?
Yeah, there's three books. I just turned in the third one.
Okay.
So the third one is about her friend Ada that we
Okay.
meet in the second book. We have not met the MMC yet. He's new.
Okay.
But after that, I'll probably put them to bed for a little while just because I have other things that I want to explore. But
Are you going to go back to your hockey series?
I wrote a second book for the hockey series. It comes
Okay.
out next summer.
Okay.
It's
I
about her
thought I
brother.
had seen that.
Yeah, it's about her brother Jack.
Okay.
But after that, I don't know if I'll do any more sports romance novels
Yeah.
because I'm not a sports girly, and I feel like people can tell.
Of Go sports. Yay. Yay
That's
ball.
basically me. Like, I picked hockey because hockey players are hot. But I remember I got a review that was like, she obviously doesn't know anything about hockey. She called it bleachers. And I was like, I'm from the South. We call everything bleachers. I'm sorry. So I was like, that was a roast. So I'm afraid to keep.
Happens. Well, so Kylie Kent, who does Mafia, she wrote of like a mafia hockey world.
Oh,
So we're
God.
like, well, we're going into this for the mafia, not the hockey. And she's Australian also. So we're
Oh,
like, well,
gosh.
usually we're very picky, but it's like, we'll forgive it there because
That's kind
one.
of how I am. I'm like, I'm not here for the hockey anyway. Like, when I read a sports romance, I'm like, I'm not here for the sport. I'm here for the romance. The sport is the background. So that's kind of how I treated writing it, too.
I mean, hey, whatever works.
Yeah, you got to get it done.
So do you think you would ever revisit her brothers? Because they're something.
I know. That's the problem. It's like, I want to, like, every time I write a side character, they're like, I want to write a book for them. But it's like, my publishing schedule is so tight. Like, I do like six, two books a year. Like, and I've already, like, I'm out. Let me see, one, two, I'm like 3 books ahead right now. So, like, my next 3 books are already planned. So it's just hard to like sneak something in there, basically. I want to do something for the brother and Overruled, but it's like, when could I do that,
Well, but
basically?
you have a Read Me Romance coming out, do you not? Or is that
It already came out. Yeah,
okay?
it was just a little novella. It was like a little demon novella.
Well, but even little things like that, little novellas.
Yeah.
I
Well,
mean,
I'm trying to.
I'm
I
trying
want
to talk you into
to. I know,
this.
just somehow, just give him an extra story. I know Leah would probably love for me to do another Read Me romance where I could and I could just do little continuations of them. I should do something like that instead of something totally new. It'd be easier.
Well, and one thing I love about those like types of like things, the Read Me Romance, even the Montlake like novella series they have been doing for the holidays, it's like a little snippet of an author's style and writing. And it's like a great way to try a new author out.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I would love to do it. It would be really funny to do a novella for the Her Brothers.
I could see the three of them like fighting over stuff. Like they're just so rough but sweet at the same time.
I love a big, I don't know, is a himbo a word we can use? I love a
I mean, yeah, I yes, no,
himbo.
maybe. I mean, who knows?
I like a big man that's not overly toxic and like masculine. That's what I like.
You
Whatever
like
you
a
want.
lumber snack,
Yes, I love a
which
lumberjack.
Hunter is definitely a lumber snack.
Absolutely, he is.
It's
I
a
love a big bearded man. Like, I've got some art coming out for this book, which I already had one art piece done for it, but like, it's the same artist doing, she's doing me a spicy art for this book. And when she added the body hair to him, I was like, oh, I was like feral for it. I was like, I obviously have like a kink for body hair.
So, where was the inspiration for your Loch Ness Monster romance?
Oh man. I feel like, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell people, but I do, but I pitched it as a joke.
Oh,
Like,
really?
yes, it was time for my new contract, and my editor, or not my editor, my agent was like asking me for new ideas for my next, because they like to keep me staggered with contemporary and paranormal. So she's like, we need an idea for your next paranormal. And I pitched something about vampires. She's like, that's not fresh enough. And I was like, okay. So I started thinking, and I was like, what if the Loch Ness monster was actually a hot guy? And I was like, haha, just kidding. And she's like, no, wait, go back.
Well, because it's not something that you ever come across. And I love the covers that you have. Like, your covers are amazing. And that Lock and Key book, like, I just really love the style of the cover and the
Oh
color
yeah, I love
choices.
Monica. Her name is Monica Rose. She's so good. I love my covers. They
Do you
really
think
spoil
you'd
it.
ever go back to the Loch Ness Monster world?
I don't
It might,
know.
or it
I
was a
don't
one
know.
and done type of thing.
It feels done to me. Like, they feel very concluded to me. Like, I would like to explore other cryptids, maybe. Like, I get Mothman requested a lot.
That is one that like I've seen fluttering, but nobody has really done it yet.
I know. I can't think of like a good story for Mothman. Like, I'm not very good at like pulling something out of the air. Like, I have to actually be inspired
But
to
there
write.
is a Mothman statue. Maybe you
I
have to
know.
visit it.
I need to go visit it and touch his big bronze buns.
The bronze buns.
Yes, maybe
Yeah.
that would give me some
It
inspiration.
might. I mean, who would have thunk a giant Mothman statue is something that would draw people in?
I know.
So which book is next?
After the mating game, you mean? Jack's book,
Yeah,
the next hockey book for the final score comes out next July.
okay.
So that is what is next. And it's already turned in, it's done, so it's like ready to go.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. Thank you so much for joining me on this author spotlight. It has been a pleasure.
Well, I'm just happy that you invited me.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.